Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. I appreciate everybody who listens and hope that you enjoy the show enough to want to tell others to listen in as well. I'm grateful for whatever you can do to help spread the word about this ministry, whether that's sending someone an email, a text message, making a phone call, using the share feature in your preferred podcast listening app, or even just a face-to-face conversation. Remember, you don't have to be Catholic and you don't have to be into sports to be impacted by what I bring you each week on this show, whether that's simply entertainment value or help with your faith life. So give someone else that same opportunity by letting them know about this show. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, where you'll find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. There is also a section of the website called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. I actually have a prayer request of my own for all of you that I will mention a little later on. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. While I realize that some people will call it superstitions or quirks or just part of a routine, you see a lot of times when athletes are, let's call it, fidgeting as they await the start of a game. Hockey players who are on the ice are sometimes moving their skates back and forth while the national anthem is being sung. Football players will be seen kind of swaying and not to the music as they stand on the sideline waiting for kickoff. Again, I know some of you will write this all off as nervous energy. What about a basketball player who has to hit the last shot they take during pregame warmups before heading to the bench to get ready for tip-off? There's just so much uneasiness, yes, in sports, but we all too go through this in our personal lives. Rereading the same document over and over before going into a big meeting or delivering a speech, or saying out loud in a final run-through kind of way something that we intend to say in a phone call we're about to make. And yes, the anxiety that comes before going through the sacrament of confession. As you know, I am a Benedictine oblate to the St. Leo Abbey in Central Florida, and at a recent session there, I sat and listened as the abbot reminded us that St. Augustine said, "I am restless until I rest in you." Friends, I encourage you, in the moments of nervousness, in times of anxiety, in situations where you are tense, use those words as a short, simple prayer and let the peace of Christ fill you. I am restless until I rest in you. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the head women's basketball coach at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, with next month marking the 9-year anniversary since he was introduced there to that position. Just over 3 years ago, during his sixth season, he became the program's all-time winningest coach. Under his guidance, the Crimson Hawks have won 2 PSAC tournament titles and back-to-back Atlantic Region crowns and Elite Eight national semifinal berths. He had come to IUP with more than 25 years of coaching, game management, and player development knowledge learned after spending time on the coaching staffs of 6 colleges. At one point during his professional career, he was the director of youth and campus ministry for the Diocese of Altoona-Johnstown. In addition, he founded and directed the Word and the Rock basketball camp and was the director of Camp Zacchaeus. As a student athlete, he had played basketball at 2 different colleges. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Tom McConnell.
Thank you, Bruce. It's great to be here, and I just am honored, you know, to spend this time with you. I just really appreciate and respect your ministry and what you do.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. And last week on the show, we heard Denis Villeneuve say that he is a cradle Catholic and was the 3rd of 7 children in his family. And this week, Tom, you're here to see his 7 and raise him. Yes?
That's right. I am the oldest of 8. We grew up in Pittsburgh, and Catholic. Our lives went to Our Lady of Loretto grade school in the Pittsburgh area, and then on to Seton LaSalle High School. When I was there, it was South Hills Catholic High School. So It's just been a big part of, you know, our family, and just really, you know, feel fortunate to have those 12 years of, you know, Catholic education.
And a nice start to this episode, as there's a nice coincidence there. Very much different cities, and you mentioned school, and I'm about to say church. But when I first got married, I was going to Our Lady of Loretto for church, and that's the same church that my parents had been married at many years earlier. Tom, since you were the oldest of all your brothers and sisters, when and how did you get into basketball? Since obviously the answer is not going to be an older sibling having already been playing the sport.
We were very fortunate to have some great influences at an early age. You know, we all played for our father, who worked on skills with us. We had a grade school coach at Our Lady of Loretto by the name of Dan Kale that spent a lot of time with all of us working on fundamentals. And, you know, you didn't realize it at the time, but he had a higher purpose for what he did. It wasn't for him just about dribbling, passing, and shooting. He really coached the heart and the mind as well. And then when I got into college, had the opportunity to work several summers at the basketball camp of some great local college coaches who had a tremendous influence on me. And when I spent those summers with those guys, I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life, because I, like I talked about with Dan, I saw the ability to teach and to motivate, inspire more than X's and O's, but just to really impact young people through sports.
And I'm glad you're to the point where you're talking about getting into coaching, because I did want to fast forward ahead to your adult life. In the intro, I mentioned the many, many years that you've been coaching, but I didn't mention any place specific other than your current school, Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Share with the audience about the three different Catholic universities that you've coached at, as well as how much that aspect did or didn't play a role in you taking the job at those schools.
Well, I think at the time, you know, I was just looking to grow in the profession. And it just so happened that I was very blessed to have opportunities to go to Marquette University in Milwaukee, then on to University of Dayton, and then eventually as the head coach for 7 years at St. Francis in Loretto, Pennsylvania. And, you know, I just, I loved being in that environment. And when I was an assistant coach, you know, it was more basketball, but I loved being there and going to mass on Sunday evenings, you know, and just sharing that time with the students and just being in that environment. It was just all very familiar to me, but it was probably not until I went to St. Francis and really got close with a lot of the friars there that my faith really began to grow. And it was at that time that I knew that is the more that God was working in my life, that I needed to now incorporate my faith into my coaching.
Gotcha. While we're talking about the sport that has taken you to these different coaching stops, share with the audience about how much basketball has prevailed throughout your family.
Yeah, it's been a big part of what we do and who we are, and we each have had, you know, different paths. I've had, you know, my brothers and sisters all play, you know, college. Five of us played college basketball. Maureen at Pitt, Kathy at University of Virginia, Tim at Waynesburg College, myself at Davidson, and then Susie, who finished as the all-time NCAA assist leader at Penn State, was a two-time Olympian and also coached and played in the WNBA. And currently, our nephew TJ is now a member of the Indiana Pacers. So it's been a big part of, you know, what we do, and family gatherings tend to get interesting in the sharing of ideas and plays and players and different experiences. And so it's something that really has brought our family really close together, because I think we, you know, it's important to us to really support, encourage one another in this.
Yeah, I'm picturing a family gathering and everyone's around the table and there's extra napkins for purposes of drawing up plays on those napkins.
Well said. Well said. Like if I go watch my brother's team play or something, you know, and they run a play, I know exactly what play that is and I know exactly where we talked about it, you know? So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that.
And I will mention this too, because I don't want to forget him. My brother Michael, who used to coach high school basketball and was very successful, became a college referee 20 years ago. Mm. And this past April, he had the honor of reffing the national championship game between UConn and South Carolina.
Mm.
And so that also makes for very interesting times, because I can't tell you how many times throughout the year I will call him and say, hey, tell me about this role. What do you think about this? You know? So he's been a great help as well.
Outstanding. Outstanding. You have definitely found the intersection of faith and sports, as evidenced not only by what we've talked about so far, but also in a couple other initiatives that you've undertaken over the years. I only briefly alluded to these in the intro. So talk more about the Word in the Rock basketball camp, as well as having at one point been director of youth ministry for the Altoona Johnstown Diocese.
Yeah, this is something that was really important to me as my faith began to grow. I wanted to be able, you know, I saw what God was doing in my life, and I wanted to be able to share this with other players and coaches. And so I started, as you mentioned, it's called the Word and the Rock Basketball Camp. And it's a basketball camp in every sense of the word. We do everything that you would do at a normal basketball camp, from games to contests to teaching of fundamentals. But each morning and each afternoon, we set aside time and we had sessions where we now talked about our faith and how to bring that into the sports world. And it was a lot of fun, because it was on my heart to really make this come alive for young people. And so we would show movie clips and we would tell stories. And then we would do activities where they could really touch it, feel it, see it, you know?
Mm.
And these were really special sessions. And I can honestly say, you know how it is as a teacher or a coach, whenever you work on something, you feel like, you know, yes, I'm helping young people grow. But the reality was, I was getting way, way more out of it than they were, because I just saw what God was teaching and doing in my life, and able to take those values, those principles, those gospel lessons, and bring them into sports and everyday life.
Wow. Wow. So powerful. So powerful. I love that. I love that. Folks, if you ever heard episode 80 of this show, when my guest was Father Michael Leitner, you know that during our conversation, he shared a really powerful story about, well, actually, he talked about being so good at college football that he was invited to try out for the Cleveland Browns, but he provided tremendous witness to something life-changing that occurred when he went to Medjugorje, which, spoiler alert, resulted in him being called to the priesthood. Go back and listen to episode 80 if you never heard that one. I bring that up because Tom McConnell also has done a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and so I by all means want him to tell us about his experience going there. I also want to ask for your prayers for my wife. I mentioned at the beginning of this episode that I had a prayer request of my own that I wanted to pass along. My wife is a teacher, and she was blindsided recently by some news that her position is being cut. And so, going back to my ministry moment and St. Augustine's words, "I am restless until I rest in you," there certainly has been a lot of stress and a lot of prayer here. I know I don't talk a whole lot about my personal life on this show, but that is certainly impacting us quite a bit. So I'd be most grateful if you would pray for Wendy. To that end, it only adds to how challenging it already is for me to try to take on the many expenses that come with running the Catholic Sports Radio Ministry, especially given that I don't get any income for doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. I try to share as often as I can exact costs that I face in operating Catholic Sports Radio on and off the air. It's why you hear me ask you to prayerfully consider supporting what I'm doing through a financial contribution. At the same time, when someone makes a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, it also tells me that you find value in what I'm doing and that you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio and that you're getting benefit from listening to this show each week, whether that's a personal spiritual benefit that's helping your faith life and or maybe just enjoyment, entertainment, but it's meaningful to you. You like what I provide and you like the guest conversations too. That goes a long way with me to know that there is a place for this type of programming and you want to see it continue. As I mentioned last week, Lent, of course, is over, which means we won't be hearing calls anymore from our priests about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. However, the Church is always encouraging us all to prayerfully consider what we're doing in terms of tithing, which is where I would ask you to kindly consider supporting my ministry. You can easily do so securely online by using the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That allows you to put in whatever amount you're comfortable with, meaning there's no drop-down menu of predetermined amounts for you to choose from. Alternatively, as some folks have chosen to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask me for the mailing address where you can send a check. I'm happy to say the name on the air of anyone who makes a financial contribution to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, or as some have asked me to do, you can remain anonymous. I'm truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate your considering supporting what I'm doing by making a donation. I'm blessed to be called to this and am committed to giving back with my time and talent and working to move more people closer to Christ through Catholic Sports Radio. Tom, obviously it didn't result in you being called to the priesthood, as was the case for Father Michael Leitner, but do please share with us about your having done a pilgrimage to Medjugorje.
It's an interesting story, and when you look back on it, you could really see God's hand at work. You know, I thought I was, you know, going to St. Francis to, you know, try to win a conference championship and, you know, find a good place for, you know, my family to live and to, you know, raise them. And you just, God put us in a neighborhood with some amazing faith-filled people who were very devoted. And we became good friends with 12 to 15 families that would gather regularly Sunday nights, Friday nights with young children to pray the rosary.
Mm.
And so I am forever grateful and indebted to those lifelong friends, you know, that we had that, we shared that, those 15 years together. And at the same time, you know, I'm now working at St. Francis and, you know, you have the influence of the friars.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, I think it was my brother-in-law that gave me a book on the what was going on in Medjugorje, and I read it. And I was just really moved and inspired by it. And a short time later, one of the young friars came into my office one day and he says, "I've been praying about this. We're going to Medjugorje."
Mm.
And so me, him, and two other guys went to Medjugorje for 10 days.
Wow.
And it was just so impactful. And from that time on and so moving, I just have tried to really incorporate into my life, you know, the five stones of the Medjugorje message, you know, of prayer, fasting, the Mass, the Bible, and frequent confession, you know, and just really that experience now rejuvenated me and brought my faith to life and has really inspired me to try to live those messages out and, you know, given me a great devotion to Jesus through Mary. And, you know, just, I just am very thankful for, you know, for that experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And that's a very powerful story in and of itself. And here I was saying that what happened to you wasn't life-changing the way it was for Father Michael Leitner. I know that there was something that was life-changing for you, and it wasn't even that, a conference, actually, that you attended 25 years ago, and specifically seven words that you heard spoken while you were at that conference. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, one of my favorite speakers and Catholic authors is Matthew Kelly. And, you know, I had the very first time I had ever heard him speak was at a conference, and he said these words, and you know, we've heard a lot of speakers, all of us over the years, sermons, homilies, presentations, but how many of them can we point to that say really changed our life and created in us a daily habit 25 years later?
Yeah.
And what he said was, and I never forget it because he said it over and over again, he said, all the answers are in the tabernacle. All the answers are in the tabernacle. And what he challenged us all to do at that time was to just spend 10 minutes a day going to get quiet, going to get still, and sitting before Jesus and just bringing to him everything that is that we do and invite him into every activity and all aspects of our life. But it really has stayed with me, and it's created the daily habit of going. And 10 minutes turns into 15, and 15 turns into 20, and so on. But it's just the idea of shutting out the world, making time for just you and him, and bringing him into everything and laying them at his feet, and get quiet and let him speak to your heart. And so there have been day after day after day. I just don't think I could coach or raise six children without the daily habit of going to him and bringing to him everything that is that I'm dealing with, and inviting him to be a part of that experience in my life, and to stop being self-reliant and to put my reliance on him. And, you know, the peace that comes from getting quiet and being still, the joy, the inspirations that flow, the blessings that flow from the tabernacle. I think we are very blessed as Catholics. And I think, you know, if we all knew that and really took that to heart, it would be life-changing. And I know it has been for me.
Oh, well, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening. Trust me. I'm so dialed in. This is kind of what it's all about when I refer to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. Folks, I hope this is hitting you the way it's hitting me, because this is someone that I read off quite a lengthy introduction of at the beginning of this episode. Someone who has spent years and years coaching at a handful of different schools. You hear about how basketball prevails throughout his family, and listen how passionately he's speaking about his Catholic faith, and listen how in depth he's going with this answer to me about what those words did to him that he heard, and as a result, what he does daily. He's not talking about what he's doing daily basketball-wise. He's talking about what he's doing daily faith-wise. And so, praise God that we have you on the show, Tom, and that you have that witness to share with us. It's a beautiful lesson for a lot of us to hear, and I think it's, in some way, a little bit of a challenge that can't we all find, gosh, it's kind of embarrassing to say, just 10 minutes a day for our Heavenly Father, and you're doing it, you're giving great witness to it, so thank you for sharing all that.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I mentioned during my ministry moment that I am a Benedictine oblate to the St. Leo Abbey in Central Florida. For those that have read the profile in the About section of the website where it says Meet the Host, you know that I made my Cursilla weekend 2.5 years ago. Tom, you are a fellow Cursillista and have worked several weekends. Talk about all of that.
Hey, Caloris. It was that group of men and women that I talked about that were, you know, great influence on my wife and I and our family. And several of them had made a Cursillo, and they came to us at one point about making it, and the season had just ended and you're tired. And I was like, now this is a retreat, right? Where I can get a lot of rest.
Mm.
There's a lot of quiet time, you know? And they were like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And little did I know they were winking when they said it. But so I had a chance to make the weekend, and there was very little time for rest. But it was one of the most uplifting experiences, and I'm so thankful before that, to hear the witness of friends, lay people, just like me, just like you, Bruce, and everybody out there, telling their stories and how God has worked in their life. And, you know, through that experience, made lifelong friends, and their influence is still felt today. And had the privilege then to follow that up by, you know, serving on the, you know, Curcio staff for a couple weekends and be on the other side of it. Just if anybody out there, you know, ever has a chance to make a Curcio weekend, I would strongly recommend it. I just think there's great fellowship, and it's very inspiring and uplifting, but you probably won't get a lot of rest.
That's true. But you'll get so much more out of it.
For sure.
As you can tell by the enthusiasm in Tom's voice, and obviously the fact that it made such an impact on him that he went back and worked several of the Curcio weekends. And I'm here to endorse it to anyone that wants to know the good word of the Curcio movement. Please, by all means, pursue it. As parents, we love all of our children equally, and so I am going to ask Tom to share about his whole family and even something that him and his wife did spiritually with all of them. But first, Tom, tell the audience why I'm asking you to single out your son, Sean.
Sean was ordained a Catholic priest several years ago. He's a Franciscan friar of the Holy Spirit, and he and the men from their order reside in Laveen, Arizona, and they serve the Native Americans in the Phoenix Diocese. And, you know, it's just been a blessing, you know, for our family. You know, my wife and I had the chance last Easter to go out and visit with him and spend Holy Week with him. And we really felt like, you know, Easter is, the Triduum is so special, you know, without that, but just being there and living it through the eyes of the friars was something I don't think that either one of us, you know, will ever forget. And the thing is, these are uplifting men who are real and genuine, and they're, you know, they're really making an impact. You know, Sean himself was a really good high school basketball player. And I love to tell the story, Bruce, when he was in the seminary, his first year was in Loretto, PA, where his brother Luke, who's younger, was a football player. And Luke asked Sean if he wanted to play on their intramural basketball team. And the guys on the football team were like, "Luke, we want to win this thing. Why are you asking the seminarian to be on our team? You know, it's, come on, let's get real here." Well, Sean got permission, and after the first game, Luke called us. Sean went out and hit six threes.
Wow.
And the football guys loved him, and they dubbed him the Deep Fryer, which I think is one of the all-time great nicknames. You know, he's, to me, he's on the all-name team. But I share that with you because it's like these guys are real, and they're grounded, and they're just really have a heart for Jesus, and they're serving and just doing a lot of great things in the Phoenix Diocese.
Yeah, for sure. And that definitely does go down as one of the great nicknames. But you're right. I think it really kind of humanizes things when someone sees that this person who they only viewed as a seminarian all of a sudden is, hey, but the guy can play some basketball, let me tell you.
That's right.
It's not unlike way back. We're going back to the latter part of 2019, way back on episode 39. My guest was Father John Perdue. He was the director of vocations for the Diocese of Peterborough in Ontario, Canada. And on that episode, he was there to talk about the Flying Fathers. It was a hockey team of Catholic priests. And that really, as
love
he,
it.
Yeah, that is, as he and I talked about, that really kind of personalized things to the point where it helps him as a director of vocations to say, if someone can look and say, these guys are playing hockey, that's awesome, I love hockey. And then they go, wait, they're Catholic priests? Well, maybe there's something to this. Maybe I can look into this after all. So, you know, to see your son all of a sudden step onto the court and do what he did, hitting the three-pointers as a quote-unquote seminarian, that they only knew him by that label, all of a sudden it gets people thinking a little bit more about, you know, am I being called? Is there something I can do in service to the church instead of simply defining my life by my athletic abilities?
That's for sure. Well said.
Well, Tom, go ahead and close us out by sharing about your marriage and the family that the two of you have made, as well as what I was referring to before about something that you and your wife did spiritually with all of your children.
We are married to a wonderful woman, Lisa, and we, you know, our six children, and, you know, a number of years ago, we had the opportunity to do the St. Louis de Montfort consecration to Jesus through Mary, and I think that has been something that is very special to us, and we have a lot of, you know, stories where, you know, we saw the Blessed Mother's intercession of her going to her son and, you know, on our behalf and working things out, and just something that has, you know, always been with us. And so the rosary has, you know, been a very big part of our life, and, you know, just feel very blessed, you know. And I just would want to encourage more Catholics to know the true role that Mary plays in our lives, and how she just, you know, is a mother to us and just brings us to her son. And he refuses her nothing, as we know. And so we've been very blessed to, you know, to do that as a family.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know we're just meeting for the first time, but I feel comfortable doing this with you. How many years have you been married? And then I know you can easily tell me how many boys and girls you have, but you said you have six children. Ballpark on the age range of the kids.
Yeah, we'll be married 40 years next September.
Wow.
And,
beautiful.
You know, the six children we have, you know, four boys and two girls.
Okay.
And our youngest are twins. Christopher and Mary Grace, and then our oldest is Tommy, and then we have Ashley, Sean, who is now Father Peter Teresa, and our son Luke, who now coaches basketball at St. Francis PA in Loretto, which is a blessing to our family as well. He's right up the road here.
Wow, fantastic. Tom, so wonderful to have you on the show. God bless you and your family. Thank you so much for being on Catholic Sports Radio. I really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. It's been my honor, my privilege. I'm blessed to spend this time with you, and I hope we can do it again soon.
And folks, as a nod to the lifelong coaching that Tom has done, let's close this week's episode with a prayer from the National Catholic Coaches Association, and do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From 1 Chronicles, so Nathan told David, "Do all that is on your heart, for God is with you." Father, help me coach my players in a way that develops confidence and enables them to compete at their best. Help me encourage them to do all that is in their hearts. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.